You have your Bibles, let's look into the book of Romans tonight, chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. One of the greatest subjects in your Bible, you'll find in Romans chapter number 5, and so much in the Bible said about it, and I'm going to try just to touch on a few thoughts from it tonight. I guess all of you are very familiar with everything that I'm going to say, but I think we need reminding every now and then about what God's done for us. He sure has been good to us, hasn't he? Romans chapter 5, verse 6, when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's you and me. Verse 8, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now let's get on down to verse 12. The Bible says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. In the last couple of weeks, I've been to 5 different funerals. And every time I go to a funeral, it reminds me of where we're all headed. But I thank God, as they were singing a while ago, about victory, the grave ain't going to keep me. Hell can't touch me. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I thank God for salvation tonight. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's move on up to verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. You see the contrast that's taking place in these verses? For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm interested tonight in verse number 20. The last part of that verse says, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Y'all read that with me tonight. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Can I tell you something, friend, tonight? Sin was abounding in your life when Jesus came to you. You had no hope in the world. You had no hope of heaven. You had no hope of salvation unless Christ came to you and gave you grace and forgive you of your sins. We were strangers. We were aliens. We were strangers from the covenants of promise. But Jesus bought us by His blood on Calvary's cross. Now I want to preach tonight on this thought. You can be seated, by the way. I ain't going to make you stand all night. I want to preach out of verse 20 where He said, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I want to preach on this thought tonight. Thank God for grace. Thank God for grace. You know, I was noticing a while ago as they was singing about praising Him and the different things of the virtues, the things that He's done for us, friend. We ought to be a thankful people tonight. We ought to thank God for grace. Hey, there's a lot of people out here in the alley somewhere that's a drunk. That's a drug addict, friend. There's different places that you could be tonight if the grace of God hadn't have come to you and rescued you out of the sin pits that you was in. And I could be one of them out there tonight. A lot of the old boys I used to run with when I was lost, they're still out in darkness. And they don't want the gospel. They don't want to hear it, friend. Hey, I was just like that one day. I didn't want to hear about the things of God, but He come to me by grace, and He brought fear, and He brought conviction upon me, and He drew me in with cords of love. Oh, I thank God for grace tonight. Listen, friend, you may not know it tonight, but you're a debtor. You're a debtor to the grace of God tonight. We ought to thank God for grace. Oh, let me tell you something. When they get up here and begin to sing about God's amazing grace, it ought to stir our hearts to a thankfulness and an humbleness that He would come to a wretch like us and save us. Thank God for grace. Now the Bible says in John chapter 1 that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, friend, Jesus brought grace to you and I. He paid a debt that we couldn't pay. We were under the curse of the law of sin and death. But Jesus came to bring us grace, to take our place, to give us life eternal. And we ought to thank Him every day of our lives. We ought to thank Him for grace. One of these days, when we draw our last breath, when we close our eyes to this life, to this world, I'm glad, thank God. I don't know how it's going to happen, friend. There may be a band of angels together and take us home. It may be Jesus there together. I don't know, friend, but this I do know, friend, that I'm going to close my eyes to this life and I'm going to open them in His world. It's all because of grace. Hey, not because of my goodness, not because of my works, not because of my mama, not because of my daddy, not because of my church, but it's all because of the Lord Jesus Christ and the sin debt that He paid on Calvary. Oh, I thank God for grace. I thank God, first of all, tonight for grace because of the offense of man. You see, we were in a predicament. Way back in Adam's day, they got us in a mess. See, they were living in the garden there and had a full fellowship with God there, and everything was perfect till sin entered in. Adam sinned. Verse 12, as by one man sin entered into the world, speaking of Adam, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that A-L-L, all have sinned. You know, we like to put on our Sunday best and come to church, get our halos all tuned up, but we're sinners. We're sinners. And we would be condemned to a devil's hell without Christ. You notice in these verses here, as it describes this offense of man, it speaks about disobedience. It speaks about an offense of man and the disobedience of man. That's a lot like you and me, you know. We look at Adam and we say, boy, he got us in a mess. But we a mess anyway. We're prone to be disobedient. And I wonder if God judged us tonight without grace, I wonder how many offenses we'd have on our board tonight. I thank God for grace. Listen to me. When Adam sinned, it left all mankind separated from God. Plunged mankind into depravity, friend, and separation from God. It left a void between God and man needed a redeemer, one that could reach up to God and reach down to man and redeem and bring them back together. It was in a mess because of the offense of man. Now man, in his start, fell into disobedience. But then as man in his sin, you know, the Bible makes it very plain that we're all sinners. He said, for all have sinned. You know, there's a lot of folks today that's thinking that they're living above sin. There's a lot of folks think that they're going to make it into heaven one day because of their goodness. Because of their works. I had somebody to tell me one time that they didn't sin. They made mistakes. That's a religion of works. But God made it plain right here when He says that all have sinned. And let me tell you, friend, when we come to the house of God to worship Him, friend, we ought to see ourselves as a sinner that was saved by the grace of God. Where would we be without Him? Thank God for grace. Man in his start, man in his sin, but man in his sentence. For the wages of sin is death. 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 Adam in the garden when he sinned, physical death was passed upon him, but he died spiritually. And can I tell you something? We're all of Adam's race. We can trace our genealogy all the way back to Adam. And Adam was separated from God, so we're in the same boat. We need a Savior. We need to be reconciled to God. We're sinners. We've all come short of God's glory. We've failed. Isaiah said we've turned everyone to our own way. We need a redeeming. But not only, friend, man in his sentence tonight, but man in his schoolmaster. You'll notice, he said, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Did you know that God gave us this Bible right here? There's laws in this Bible. If you turn back over into the book of Exodus and you read the Ten Commandments there, I don't particularly like the Ten Commandments because they show me what a failure, what a sorry rascal I am. You don't have to try to measure up to this right here till you find out how sorry you are. But listen to me, friend. God gave us this law. He gave us the Bible, friend, the law of the Bible right here to be our schoolmaster. That's why that lost sinners need to come in and hear the Word of God preached. That's why we as a church need to go out and present the Word of God to lost sinners. That they might become guilty. That they might become convicted. That they might become exceeding sinful and sorry before God for their sins. That's what the schoolmaster does for you and I. In Galatians chapter 3, 24 says this, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. The very first thing that God does for a sinner is to convict him, to make him guilty. And that's what this Word of God does. He said He gave us the law to draw us to Christ. Now listen to me. The law was not given to produce righteousness. It was not given to produce religion or redemption, but rather guilt. Guilt. Oh, that all mankind could become guilty before God and see their lost and their sinful condition and see Him as the only hope they have for forgiveness. The law cannot save. The law cannot justify. The law cannot forgive. The law can't pardon. The law can't fix our sinful condition. The law can't redeem us. The law can only reveal our vileness, our wickedness, our filthiness, our uncleanness, our unholiness, our depravity, our darkness, our unworthiness, our unrighteousness, our hopelessness, and leaves us guilty and condemned under the law of the curse of the law of sin and death. That's what the law does for us. And yet there's a lot of religions. There's a lot of people that's choosing to try to live good enough to get to heaven. I thank God for grace. You know, the Bible says, if a man keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. If a person could live a near perfect life and slip one little sin would send them to hell. But Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. Jesus paid the price for our sinfulness. You see, the law has no mercy. The law demands justice. The law demands punishment. And we are all offenders of the law. I thank God for grace. Because if we were judged out of the law, we'd have no hope. No hope. Man in his schoolmaster, man in his situation. Man without Christ. Romans 3 and 9 and Galatians 3 and 22 says that we are all under sin. All under sin. Romans 3 and 10 says there's none righteous. Psalms 14 and 1 says there's none good. Romans 3 and 20 says, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. Sound like man needs grace, don't it? Needs grace. You see, God sent His Son into the world to fill that need. Every man, everybody comes short of the glory of God. But in God's infinite plan, He knew that. And in God's grace, He sent His Son to die for sinful man. You know, I can say that There's a lot of good people in the world that we might categorize them as being good. But you know, there's some folks in this world that I just can't fathom how God would send His Son for them and die for them. But He did. He didn't just come for good people. He didn't just come for people that, you know, that were talented or that He could use. He died for all. All. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I thank God for grace because of the offense of man. I was one of the offenders. All that I've done, all that I'll ever do is under grace, not under the law. Thank God for that. I'd be forever condemned, but under grace. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I thank God for grace because of the offering of God and of the obedience of Christ. In Romans 5 and 19, again it says, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Brother Lee, you know what Jesus done for me? On Calvary? He hung on that cross of Calvary. And God took all of my sins. As Jesus hung on that cross, God placed all of my sins and all of your sins and all the sins of the entire world. He placed it upon His Son. And He judged sin. The Bible says that He was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made righteous. Without that righteousness, you'd not make it into heaven. But the law had declared us guilty, but the love of God delivered us grace. I'm talking about, I thank God for grace tonight. Let me give you another reason why I thank Him. In Ephesians 2, and notice these first four verses right here. And when I read this right here and I put my name in place here, you put your name in these places. And Mike Rollins hath He quickened, who was dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past Mike Rollins walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also Mike Rollins had his conversation in times past in the lust of his flesh, fulfilling the desires of his flesh and of his mind, and was by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Not of works, not of your goodness, not of your ability. But by grace are you saved through faith. And did you know that grace even give you faith? Study your Bible. It was God's grace that gives you the faith to believe. A lot of folks don't even believe. The devil's blinded their minds. And if it wasn't for God's grace, you'd still be in darkness. It was God's grace that gave you light. God's grace that drew you in. It was God's grace that humbled you, that saved you through faith. Give you faith to call on Him and ask for salvation. Isaiah said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Galatians 4:4-5 says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that were condemned by the law, friend, that by the law, friend, that we couldn't keep. But God, when the time was just right, Jesus came into this world as a little babe heading toward Calvary to pay a debt that you owed, that I owed. It was love that delivered us grace. We didn't merit God's love. We weren't worthy of God's love. We were enemies of God. But He loved us enough to give the greatest gift that's ever been given to mankind. You may receive a lot of gifts in this life. Somebody could leave you a bunch of money. Somebody could give you houses, lands, different things. But it'll never top what God's done for you. It'll never top the gift that God gave you in His Son. He delivered us grace that He might deliver us from the curse of the law. Listen to me. When Jesus hung upon the cross, the world didn't know what was going on. But He was paying a debt that you and I owed. He was bearing our sins. The handwriting of ordinances that was against us, Brother Tim, that was contrary to us, He took them away, nailing them to His cross. Hallelujah. When He cried, as He hung there about to give up the ghost, He cried, "It's finished." You know what He was saying? Paid in full. Paid in full. Paid in full for you and for me and for the whole world. He paid the sin debt there. That whosoever would just believe and accept Him could be forgiven, could have eternal life, not have to die and go to a devil's hell. Salvation is so simple that a wayfaring man, though he be a fool, can understand it. God hadn't made salvation complicated. It's simple. You got to want to be saved. You got to be sorry for your sins. That's conviction. Then you got to call upon God to save you. I thank God for grace. Because of the offense of man, we were all condemned. I thank God for grace because of the offering of God, the price that He paid to buy us grace. And I thank God because of the opportunity. You see, Jesus died for all. If all would just come to Him. A man will either die under grace or under the law. He'll either receive or reject Christ. He has a choice between life eternal and death eternal. He has a choice to make between heaven and hell. Can I say something to you tonight if you lost? Choose life. Choose life. Don't take a chance. Come to Christ before it's too late. You can overcome through the blood of Jesus. Stand with me. I thank God for grace. The Bible says it's abundant. It's all sufficient, it's glorious, it's great, it's manifold, it's rich. It also says it's undeserved. We're living in the day and age of the dispensation of grace. God gave His Son, and He gave us this church age for men of God to preach this gospel of grace, the free gift of life, that sinners could be saved and have eternal life. But can I tell you something? If you're lost tonight, the age and dispensation of God's grace is going to end one day. And then there'll be a dispensation of wrath that comes in. Come to Christ while there's time. Come to Him while there's hope. A lot of lost people go through life and they get under conviction and they think, well, I'll wait just a little longer. I'll wait till the situation's just right. I'll wait till another Sunday. I'll wait till another Wednesday. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I listen to Atlanta radio some, and you know, just about every day you hear about a fatal accident somewhere around the perimeter of Atlanta. We don't have the promise of tomorrow. But if we accept Christ, we have the promise of eternal life. If we reject Christ, we have the promise of eternal damnation. Sister Cher, would you come play? I want to give an invitation right here. If you're lost tonight, why don't you accept this grace, this free gift? Jesus paid a great debt for you and for me. He bore our sins that we could go free. Oh, I thank God for grace that drew me out of the pool room, drew me out of the bar rooms, that got me away from the card tables and the gambling. I thank God for that grace. I thank God He'll do the same for you. Would you come tonight?